not change in my behavior. Happiness is the law. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops part. I found the secret, is Jesus in my heart. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation. Having a pact in his soul.
Shout hallelujah. Today, this is the first Sunday in the year. And I'd like to leave you with a message I want you to hold tight to as the year goes by. I'm talking about recipe for total failure. Recipe for what? Total failure. When you want to cook vegetables, you know, you have recipe. You have oil, salt, onions, the vegetable, meat, fish, as the case may be, you have them all together. That forms recipe for your vegetable soup. Recipe for total failure. I'm teaching you this message because I do not see any failure amongst you. And I do not want anyone to fail. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which I expect you to memorize. One of the most wonderful things you can do in your life is to memorize scripture. When you memorize the word of God, it has this power that nobody can explain. When you memorize scriptures, men who memorize scriptures, they are easy to know when battle comes. But when you don't know your Bible, and the devil comes against you, and you say, it is written. And you say, yes, I know. Where is it written? You have no answer. That is a problem. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Are we there? If you are not there, say, please wait for me. Okay, we are waiting. Are we there now? Joshua 1:8. Let's read it together. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Now the first point I'd like to make here this morning is this. Everything in life has levels. Everything in life has levels. Prayer has levels. You can pray low level ice cream prayers that cannot bring a house fly down. You can pray medium level prayer that will get to some small results. You can pray high level prayer. Everything, spiritually, physically, they have levels. Wisdom has levels. Prayer has levels. The great apostle, Babaola, we heard that one Sunday evening they were praying family prayer, 9 p.m., just family prayer to close for the night. And the man of God began to pray. They were saying, amen, amen. Everybody that was in the prayer meeting said amen until they fell asleep. And the man continued praying. He prayed throughout the night. Monday, he was still praying. Tuesday, he was still praying. By Wednesday evening, he said, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And he looked around and said, where is everybody? I said, Baba, it is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. So somebody started on his feet on Sunday evening. And by Wednesday, he was saying, in Jesus' name I pray. There is prayer and there is prayer. And one thing that I want you to know is this. If you can really pray, you have no problems. But if you can't pray, it's a problem indeed. Even success has levels. That's what the Bible says. You shall have good success. There is bad success. Good success. Crying. Those of you are used to crying. It has levels too. Some just shed some small tears like this. You can hardly see the tears. That's crying. Some will be like this. Everything will be coming down like rain. That's crying. Some will fold themselves up, knock themselves on the ground and begin to roll. That's another crying. So, different levels of crying. Failure too has levels. In those days, when we were in school, I don't know whether they still do it now. If you want to take GC London, maybe Cambridge or Oxford in those days, they have A, B, C, D, E, F. Then they have another one called H. WAEC will give you, in those days, A, B, C, F, P. But they will have A, B, C, D, E, F. A means you've done very well. B means you've done a little bit well. C, well, average. D, well, just pass. E for them is try again. F means failure. They now have another one called H, meaning hopeless. So once they write English, H, they are saying, please don't bother to come back and take this exam. Don't worry. Don't come. H. So there is failure and there is failure. The second point I want to make to you today is this. Whenever you see a problem, immediately visualize a tree growing. Any problem at all, anything that is facing you like this, the first thing to visualize in your spirit is a tree. That tree must have root. It must have stem. It must have branches. It must have leaves. It must have fruit. Most of the time, we battle the leaves. We battle the fruit. We battle the branches. We battle the stem. We leave the root untouched. And it's a serious problem indeed. So when you want to address an issue, look at it as a tree. You must have started from somewhere. Once you begin to look at problems like that, you'll be able to get a solution. But if you're only fighting the surface, it's trouble. It's like you are clearing the cobwebs, but you are feeding the spider. Not knowing that it's the spider that makes the cobwebs. If you kill the spider, there will be no cobwebs. But if you're clearing cobwebs, always just clearing cobwebs. So the spiders are still alive. They are coming to bring in more cobwebs later. Many people have defined insanity. One definition of insanity is to increase your speed when you have missed the road. You don't know where you are going and you are running. It's insanity. Insanity is to be doing the same thing day in, day out, and you expect a different result. It's madness. So when you see somebody fighting the leaves, fighting the fruit, fighting the branches, leaving the root untouched, is the person is a failure. A failure because you've not gotten at the root of the matter yet. I pray that you will not fail in Jesus' name. So there is failure and there is failure. But there is the most serious failure. The most serious failure in the school of failure is failure in the school of destiny. The inability to fulfill your destiny is the greatest failure. That means you have come to this world in vain. And it's a terrible thing when a man comes to the world and you do not fulfill your divine agenda. Those are the most chronic failure. You could fail an exam. It doesn't mean failure of destiny. You could fail a situation. You could fail an interview. It doesn't mean failure of destiny. But when the person fails in the school of destiny, the person is a failure and a failure indeed. And I see plenty of young men, the way they are positioned, they're already failing. In that school of destiny, they're already failing. And they need to quickly bring themselves out and say, look, I must focus. I must have my own agenda for my life. I must know what God wants me to do. Why he wants me to throw my net in the ocean of life so that I can catch fish. Fortunately, the whole world is so wild that there is nobody that God has created who cannot prosper. And I see somebody here today who, although coming from a terrible background, you will prosper beyond compare. Let your amen run like thunder. It is possible to run the race. Nobody asks you to run. It's possible to be passing examinations. Nobody asks you to sit. So it's possible for you to be taking an examination. Nobody said for you. You set it for yourself. And that person now becomes a failure in the school of destiny. I've seen many things in my life. Strange things. But by the time you look at it, the school of failure has so many candidates. And it's a good thing to get yourself out of it quick. A small boy, a pastor, must have shared this with you before, committed fornication. Then they set up the council of the church. This man is fire. Fire. Fire preacher, fire prayer warrior, but he just fell like that. And they called him to the council of the church. This is not Mountain of Fire, but the general overseer is about almost double my age now. They call him to a meeting. And the general overseer is a fatherly person. He said, hi, young man, how can you do a wicked thing like this? It's not good. A shepherd sleeping with the sheep. It's not good. Don't do it. This is wickedness. So they now asked him to stand up in the middle of the council and say he should defend himself. But as he was going to talk, the man said, well, before you talk, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians something, something, something. As the young man stood up, took his Bible to open the Bible, what fell out of his Bible were condoms. That's failure. Failure. And in the school of destiny, if you hide your weaknesses, you die in your sin. You hide your weaknesses. If you pamper your weaknesses, you just cover it up. It's like somebody applying makeup on a sore. The person will die because you are covering up. You're not coming out and say, this is who I am. I need help. And you shout for help and you get help. I was at an international conference many years back. International conference. And they had this massive high table. And I was invited as a guest speaker. It was full gospel businessmen's meeting. They put me in the center. All the other guests were arranged around me. And they started to introduce them. The introduction were intimidating. Said that the woman on that left hand is the first commissioner of police in this country. Let's give her a round of applause. Quack, 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 quack. This man is the managing director of the greatest company, blah, blah, blah. Round of applause. And they introduce everybody. The Lord came back to me and said, now, the last but not the least, our speaker for today, Dr. Blah, 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 Mountain of Fire Miracles Ministry. Now, welcome. They clapped too. And they gave me the microphone. And as I took the microphone like this and I stood up, said, close your eyes and let us pray. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, son, there is a homosexual on this item. Tell the person to repent now or we die within 7 days. Ah. International conference. With people from all over the world. I said, ah. Problem. How, say, Lord, I can't say that here. I can't say that here. Say, son, you better obey me. So I was struggling. They didn't know I was struggling. Say, what? I said, Lord, they will throw me out of here. So, what? Those of you are used to listen to the Holy Spirit. If you disobey, you are in trouble. Because the work is not your work, it's his work. So I prepared myself to be thrown out. So, while they are closing their eyes, I said, there is somebody here who is homosexual on this high table. If you don't repent, you will die within 7 days. Before I finish 7 days, I started praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, to use the prayer to cover up what I said. Amen. I purposely prayed a long prayer. But as I was praying, I was hearing bim, 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 by my side. By the time I would say, in Jesus' name I pray, I was the only one on the eye table. Everybody had disappeared. I didn't know that when the Holy Spirit said, there is one, there is somebody here, he meant all of them. But I appreciate them. Why? They did not hide the truth. They were sincere. And God is looking for what? Sincerity. They were very sincere. And so, what I'm going to say today, you have to be sincere with yourself. If not, the person becomes a senior prefect in the school of failure. What is the recipe for total failure? I'm going to take them one by one now. What is the recipe for total failure? Recipe number one is giving sin any foothold in your life. When you give sin any foothold in your life, you enroll in the school of failure. What is the first recipe? Can you say it loud and clear? Immediately you do that, you enroll in the school of failure. 1996, at our headquarters here, they brought this man to me. Handsome fellow. He had PhD in accounting. I mean, it's not easy getting PhD in accounting. Those of you who know about accounting, you know what I'm talking about. PhD in accounting. Sometimes in the whole university, there's only one person. Had PhD in accounting. Always well-dressed in this three-piece suit. But if you see the man, you will like him just looking at him. But this man had a very strange sickness. Very strange. I've never seen it before. And I don't pray to even see another one. If he's sitting down like this, after a few minutes, bang! He'll slap his head and bring out a cockroach. He'll kill the cockroach, pam, and throw it on the floor. After some minutes again, bang! Cockroach, pam, throw it on the floor. So if he's waiting to see you, by the time he has waited 15 minutes, you'll find plenty of dead cockroaches on the floor. Amen. I've never seen that kind of thing before. There are many things you see if you're interested in prayer and deliverance. Many strange things you will see if you're interested. But if you just want to be a priest, you know, the life of a priest is very simple. You just read your sermon from the paper, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, everybody goes home. You don't say every power. So you don't, you just go home. But if you want to minister deliverance, you want to minister prayer, salvation, oh, you will see plenty of strange things. Bah! Cockroach. Pim! Throw it down. My sister, sorry, not you. Supposing somebody comes to you now and says, you know what? I want to marry you. What will you do? You will run. No matter how handsome he is. So it came, so they brought him. We prayed for him. We prayed. And by the grace of God, the rain of cockroach stopped. But the Lord said we should warn him. Say, tell this man that he should not drink alcohol again. So we said, Mr. Man, the Lord said, don't drink anymore. I said, Pastor, trust me. Trust me. I will not go there again. All those pepper soup joints, I will avoid them. And he was coming to church regularly, regularly, regularly. Then after some time, we didn't see him again. By the time we come back after 6 months, one day somebody was sitting outside my office again. Pyak! Cockroach. Pyak! Then I said, you have started drinking. He said, yes, sir. When you give sin a full toad in your life, you enroll in the school of failure. You enroll in the school of failure. The Bible says, if you give place to the enemy, say, give no place to the enemy. If you give place to the enemy will stay with you. That's the first thing. Sin is so bad that Jesus had to come and die because of it. Sin is so bad that he took the most lovely life on earth and nailed him to the cross. Sin is so bad that at a particular stage, Jesus had to cry out, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time, he was forsaken. Why? Sin. Because God's eye does not behold sin. It took his eyes off Jesus. Why hast thou forsaken me? Sin is so, so bad. If you take a pin and put it in your palm, it's very painful. How about somebody now with a 6-inch nail? Bah! On one palm, bah! On another palm, bah! On the leg. Because of what? Sin. That's why sin is very, very bad. Anybody who is academically empowered, but is not spiritually empowered, is just a clever devil. Because he just filled his head with book knowledge, but his spirit is zero. I want you to understand this very well. Any sin in your life will open doors for many things to fight you. And you may think you're fighting a great enemy. But I said, not fighting a great enemy. What you're fighting is just sin that the God of the Bible asks you to remove from your life. I remember a brother. Anytime he got to the examination, his hands would be shaking. He came to me for prayers as he was telling me, excuse me, sir, I don't know. Anytime I want to sit for exam, especially the core subject that I need, my hands will be shaking. I said, let us pray. As we prayed, I saw pornographic pictures. I said, brother, do you have this kind of magazines at home? Silence. Talk. I said, actually, it was the postmaster. So they just mistakenly posted the magazine to our house. It wasn't meant for me, but I started looking at it. So that's why your hands are shaking now. You've opened the door to the enemy. The devil is not as strong as we think, but he's a legal expert. He knows open doors. Once you put your hand into sin, you're in trouble. He comes in and begins to fight you. Many of us this year, we need to go and buy a good padlock and padlock our mouth. Because that mouth is putting you in trouble. Many need to go and sew iron trousers. Iron. So that your penis you are bringing out so easily will be very difficult to fetch out. Iron. Many of the sisters will have to wear iron pants this year. Because anything the enemy will just come in and begin a wastage. And if you say, get out of my life in the name of Jesus, say, but you allowed us to come in. Why are you asking us to get out now? Any sin in your life will give a foothold to the enemy. They brought a sister to us right there in our house when we were still living at the National Institute for Medical Research. She was half dead. And all of us started praying. All of us started praying. All of us started praying. At a stage, something spoke from her mouth and said, I am the spirit husband. I have been sent to kill her because it is time for her to marry another husband in the spirit realm. So I've been sent to kill her. Say, but since you are a man of God and you ask me to go out, I will go out. But I will come back. So I said, answer me in the name of Jesus. Why do you want to come back? He said, because she's a fornicator. She will soon commit fornication and I will be back. So the spirit left and the sister was okay. And I said, hello. Repent from this sin. If not, you will die. This is the door the enemy is using against you. Give the devil 1 inch in your life, it will take a mile. Give him 1 finger, he will take your whole body. So it's better not to give him that chance at all. And it will be a tragedy if any of us get to heaven now and they say, sorry, you can't enter here because of one sin. Why? So you have hatred in your heart. You have bitterness in your heart. So they throw the person to hellfire. So you now go back to those demons we've been casting out. And those ones say, you are here? Maybe you used to sing, down, down, Satan. Down, down, Satan. So you are here now. I pray that will not be your lot in the name of Jesus. The whole of the Bible was written because of sin. If there was no sin in the garden, there would be no Bible. It wouldn't be needed at all. It was because when Adam fell, everything went haywire in the planet. And the devil was able to do serious havoc. Sin is such a terrible thing, and we should not play with it at all. When Jesus was on that cross, all the angels ran away. No angel at the cross. They ran. The angels who came when he was born, and they were saying, glory be to God on earth, and peace upon men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And it said there were many shepherds abiding in their fields by night. When he was born, the angels were there to rejoice. When he resurrected, the angels were there to open the tomb. But on that cross, everybody ran away. They ran. Nobody to comfort him. That's why that scripture says, he seeketh for some to have pity upon him. So, but there was no one to tell him, please, sorry, sorry. Because he was carrying the sin of the whole world. Any sin in your life will destroy you. And it will pit you against God. And you will be in the camp of Satan. What is the first key, first recipe for failure? Do you understand? There is no question of, excuse me, please, don't touch me. Don't touch me, please, please. This is getting too much. Getting too much, don't touch me. Why did you go there? You shouldn't go at all. Don't go there at all. Two, recipe number two, is to allow the entrance of the enemy into your life. Allowing the entrance of the enemy into your life is the second recipe. Allowing the entrance of the enemy into your life. On our markets now, there are many things to cage sisters. Plenty on the market now. That's why I was saying at the crossover that if you're a sister now, you better learn much about how to do your own hair. Because there are serpents out there that duty is to collect virtues. I know a sister, what brought her to Mountain of Fire? She went to saloon. I want to do my hair. I want to do my hair. I want to do my hair. She went to saloon to do her hair. Then she noticed that the saloonist went somewhere and she was taking long. Something says, go and see what she's doing. By the time she got there, she found that all the water the woman used to wash her hair, she had stored them in a bottle. She wasn't throwing the water away. They would take the water to the native doctor, who would convert whatever virtue is on the person to their own. So all this, I want to do my hair, trouble. All the attaching all kinds of things to your hair, trouble. Serious trouble. Be very, very careful. Don't give the enemy entrance into your life. If you give him entrance into your life, it is a way of failure. Number three. Eating at the dining table of darkness. Recipe number three is eating at where? Dining table of darkness. Eating at the dining table of darkness. Meaning you have to watch what you eat and where you eat. Those who want to last long don't eat anything anywhere. They don't eat anything anywhere. You have to completely reduce or eliminate the habit of just buying anything on the streets and putting in your throat. You may be getting into trouble. You have to eliminate the habit of somebody having sweets in the bag and you say, can I have one? When you don't know where the sweets are coming from. You may lick that sweet, all of a sudden you discover that you are seen through the bag. You have to be very, very careful. You have to be very, 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 very careful. And some of us are so careless, we don't even pray on our food. Because we're too hungry before we start. Bless this food for Christ's sake. Amen. Some don't even say, bless this food. Bless this for Christ's sake. Amen. That's all. And they begin to swallow. A lot of people have eaten things that poisoned their lives. And to be quite honest with you, even in places like campuses, they poison each other. Put poison, people's food. But if you pray on that food, your prayer will nullify the poison. You have to be very careful where you eat and what you do. Many of the birthday parties, I'm telling you the secret truth now, that people sometimes celebrate, you have to be very careful too, especially if they are unbelievers. If they are not children of God, sometimes that birthday has been ordered by a native doctor. And he has come in the morning to enchant the food. And as many as will come here to eat, this is what their lot will be. And then you go there and say, I want leg of cow. I want this, I want that. Trouble. Don't eat at the dining table of darkness. In the house where I used to live many years back, there was a woman that gave birth to twins. And the native doctor told her to be cooking beans every Friday for the twins. I was the only tenant who didn't touch the beans. There was even one bachelor boy beside my room. Every Friday, we'll have bought his bread, getting ready. For the free beans that will come. The last time I saw him was at the airport. Police, I don't know what he did for police. They were dragging him away. At the airport, he was wearing some dirty clothes. I said, this the beans that he ate that day. I've taken away his virtue now. A native doctor prescribed party and you went to the party, you get yourself into trouble. So what is the first key? First recipe? Second recipe? Third recipe? Number four recipe is allowing the enemy to construct a building in your life. Allowing the enemy to construct a building in your life. Once something starts to build up and you know it's bad, don't joke with it. Cast it out. Deal with it. Don't smell it at all. Throw it out. Don't wait for it to develop. Because once you allow it to develop, it becomes very big. Very big. The enemy has started something small. I know at this stage, let me kill this. If you don't kill it, it will develop. That's why they say that anybody can kill a python, anybody can kill a viper, anybody can kill any dangerous snake if you kill it at the egg level. Even a small child of 6 can kill a snake if it's at the egg level. But immediately it leaves the egg level and becomes a serpent, it's more dangerous to kill. Never allow a buildup of anything evil in your life. That's what recipe 4 is telling you. Recipe 5. Allowing a satanic exchange of your destiny. And you allow a satanic exchange of your destiny. It is a recipe for failure. What did I say just now? Do you know how that happens? How many of you here? I want you to be honest. Be honest. Don't deceive yourself. How many of you here read astrology in the papers? That is what your star says. You read it. Right. Those things, they are manipulation to make people's stars to comply with the instruction of the enemy. That's why the Bible is against astrology. So you don't read such things. I was in the street of London many years back, and I found this long queue in somewhere called Hammersmith. Long queue. I was curious, so I walked right to the front of that queue. There I saw this old woman. She had a crystal ball, and she was reading people's palm. And they were paying her. And she was reading the palm of somebody. She said, you see, this your palm has a short line here. It means you won't live long. This line here is marriage, and there are 3 lines crossing that line. It means you're going to marry 3 times. This one, and the lady stood there and was saying, I was doing like this. I said, yay. So I said, take away your hand from my hand. Don't you know they are saying your destiny? She didn't even know what I was talking about. She said, I've paid. I need to know what she's saying. I've paid. To allow a satanic exchange of your destiny. I've seen people following their friends to native doctor. They got into trouble. I've seen people following their friends to some prophets. The prophet will abandon their friend and concentrate on them, thereby exchanging their destiny. I pray that this year, your destiny will not be exchanged. In the name of Jesus. What is the first recipe? Second recipe. Third recipe. Fourth recipe. Fifth recipe. Recipe number 6 is to allow yourself to be demoted to the animal level. Allowing yourself to be demoted to the animal level. When a person is behaving like a sexual maniac, then it's an animal. Even some human beings, animals have more sense than them. All the lesbianism that takes place in school, yeah, is demoting yourself to animal level. And you must never allow yourself to be demoted to that level, animal level, where all that you think about is sex. You're becoming an animal. And that will put you into serious trouble. I was sharing this with some leaders the other time. I know a girl, she came from a very strict family. If you want to go out, they will time you. If you want to come in, they will time you. The father was a pastor, very strict. And they were watching them carefully. One day, the girl went out and didn't come home on time. And the daddy said, where did you go? I said, I went to fetch water. Why did fetching water take so long? I said, I went to fetch water. He said, well, no problem. I don't believe you. I'm going to check you out. So it was in a church environment. So they went and got the nursing mother. It's a maternity woman there who used to deliver people who want to deliver babies. They brought the woman. So pastor said, I suspect this girl has done something. Mama, go and check. And these are traditional, old-fashioned women who know how to check people up. All she did was just to take cotton wool and dip it inside her and brought it out. By the time the kotuwo came out with sperms, Mama said, she has been doing something, sir. The pastor took a blade and cut the whole of her body, applied pepper, gave her a serious beating. But even with all that, as I'm talking to you now, she's been married 5 times. 5 times. Demotion to the animal level. Don't allow it to happen in your life. That's why I say, any form of sin is a destroyer. No matter what name you call sin, sin is still sin. Some people, they have redefined sin. It is still sin. Instead of pride, they will say, no, it's having class. Instead of drunkenness, so no, it's not a drunkard, it's just being social. Instead of telling somebody, this is indiscipline, say, no, it's not indiscipline, it's just freedom. Instead of calling somebody a 419, a thief, they will say, it's smart. Very smart. Instead of looking at somebody and say, you're a liar. This is lying. Say, no, it's not lying. It's just being diplomatic. Instead of saying, telling somebody that, look, you are a gossiper. So no, it's not a gossiper. It's just sharing. Sharing what? So whatever name you call it, sin is still sin. Number 7. Recipe 7 is to allow anger to control your life. Allowing anger to control your life. Let me tell you the truth. This may be very bitter. If you are in this meeting today and you still have a violent temper, you lose your temper. People will say, calm down, calm down. Don't get so angry. Then you have a problem greater than all the witches and wizards in Nigeria put together. I tell you the truth. Those of you who have been to the school of deliverance, somebody will have told you that anger is the demon at the door. Once you lose your temper and you begin to shout, that anger will open the gate and say, okay, problems, come inside. Hypertension, come inside. Headache, everybody, come inside. By the time you calm down and say, it's okay, I'm okay now, they're already inside. Anger is very, very bad. Some of us have very bad tempers. And if you don't stop it, it will stop your destiny. It will definitely stop your destiny. Anger is very, very bad. I know a man of God went to the mountain to pray. And he told his wife when he was going, say, madam, when I come, prepare ogi for me. Pap. You understand? The woman said, yes, sir. So the man went on 7 days dry fast to the mountain. Although he went to the mountain to pray, the problem of the valley was still in his life. 7 days, he had not broken his fast. He came down from the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, he met his wife going out. Said, dear, where are you going? Said, I want to go and do my hair. Said, okay, no problem. But have you prepared my ogi? Said, ogi. Where you are coming from? Ask the angels that you went to meet to prepare it. Oh, no. When the man had that, he gave her a dirty slap. Slap, energized by 7 days dry fast. The woman fell down and she never stood up. He just died. That man broke his fast in the police station. Because of what? Anger. Anger is an expensive luxury. Anger reveals our true nature. Tells you the kind of person you are. Anger and temper will shorten your life. Because each time you get angry, something called adrenaline will be released into your blood. And that thing is, when there is excess of it in your blood, it shortens your life. Many of the high blood pressure, these are the, it's because they get angry and get all the worry, anxiety, anger, they build up people's pressure and they die before their time. If you say, well, it's not my fault. I don't normally get angry. It's because I was provoked. No. It's not because you are provoked. It's because there is anger in you. And that's how my daddy used to get angry. Then you have a problem. It means you have inherited a deficit from your father. Your anger is always a weapon that your opponent can use. I remember that story. A very hungry hunter came under some palm tree. He was hungry, but I was not. The coconut trees were so high. The only thing he could feed on was coconut. But coconut tree was so high. But there were monkeys on the coconut tree. So what could he do now? He took some stones and began to stone the monkeys. The monkeys got angry. And in trying to fight back, the only stone they could throw is a coconut. So they kept plucking the coconut and throwing it at him. So they ended up giving the man food. And they themselves could not have access to the coconut anymore. So anger is a weapon that your opponent will use against you. Then we used to have one old saying in the past. They say, he who angers you conquers you. He who angers you conquers you. When we were in school, in those days, we had a geography lesson. I have a very good geography teacher. And he came and was teaching us about deserts. Deserts. And he defined desert as an area without vegetation. No plant life. So, there was a boy in our class. He's a young boy. I don't know what kind of sickness he had. There is no single ear on his head. His head is always shining bright. Immediately the teacher left class. Everybody turned to him. Sahara Desert. So that's how he got the nickname Sahara Desert. From that geography class. Anytime there was no lecturer in the class. Sahara Desert. If you call him Sahara Desert, he will run to your place and beat you up. Sahara Desert, he will run to that one and beat him up. Sahara Desert. So he was always running about the class like a madman. Sahara Desert, Sahara Desert, Sahara Desert. If he was the last to enter class, everybody would say Sahara. So he won't know who to beat again. Then one day came. He sat in his position. Somebody said, Sahara Desert. Say, that's me. Sahara Desert. You call him my name. I mean, you call him my name. That's my name. Do you know that after 5 minutes, we lost interest? Nobody was calling him that name again because he stopped reacting. Anger is like that. If you allow anger to be using you regularly, it will soon turn you to a candidate. And it's so easy to control anger. Anytime you are getting angry, don't talk. The anger will die stillborn. But if you keep giving it expression, it could keep using you as a good candidate to use. So anger is temporary madness. That's why they say, if you go to bed angry, the devil becomes your bedfellow. And each of us were as big as those things that make us angry. This is why anger is a recipe for failure. Anger starts with insanity and we always end with regret. It's a terrible thing. So when you allow anger to control your life, it's a recipe for failure. Are you here today and you get angry rather quickly, you should repent and cry out to the Lord that he should deliver you from that anger. Most of those who become witches is the spirit of anger that makes witches to employ them. Because to become a wicked witch, you need to get to the level where when you get angry, nobody can control you again. And the day that you start getting angry to the level that nobody can say it's all right, then you are in trouble. Trouble. I've seen people vibrating in anger, and that moment they were like animals. And the anger knows no respect. It's a terrible thing. Number 8. Allowing unforgiveness against anybody is a recipe for failure. Allowing unforgiveness against anybody is a recipe for failure. Are you here today? Somebody has done something against you and you are still bitter in your heart. You are not ready to forgive the person. Then you are headed for failure unless you forgive. The Bible says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, God will not forgive you your own trespasses. And when there is unforgiveness in you, the Bible says special demons called tormentors will be sent to torment you. This is a serious matter. Many years ago, as a young pastor, a woman came to me. Her businesses were down. Her cars were down. Their houses, they were demolished. And she came and said, "Man of God, pray for me. I don't know why this is going on." I closed my eyes as I wanted to pray. The Holy Spirit said, "No, don't pray for this woman. Ask her to go and forgive that person she does not want to forgive." So I said, "Madam, sorry, we're not going to pray now. The Lord said you should go and forgive somebody you are not ready to forgive." She looked at me, said, "Me forgive? No, it's not possible. I can't. It's not possible. I cannot forgive him. It's not possible." I said, "Who are you talking about?" "Say, my husband, of course." "Sir, why can't you forgive your husband?" I said, "When the man didn't have shoes, I was the wife. When he didn't have trousers, I was the wife. When he couldn't ride a bicycle, I was there. Now that he's very rich, he has everything. Now he has taken my house help for his wife. How can I forgive that kind of man? What do you mean by forgiveness?" She banged the door of my counseling room and walked away. So if that is the condition for the prayer, then there is no prayer. So he went away. But the next morning, she was the first person back. Said, "Pastor, I'm ready to forgive now." And immediately she did that, her ways opened up. Unforgiveness is a terrible spirit. And it will either reduce your success to the minimum or it will cut you short when you are at the top. I pray that that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. How many things have I told you now? What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? What's number five? What's number six? What's number seven? What's number eight? Now number nine is harboring hatred against anyone. Harboring hatred against anyone. Harboring hatred against anyone. The Bible says, "Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer." At least a person may arrive in heaven and they'll say, "You can't enter here." So why can't I enter? They say, "You are a murderer." I say, "No, I've never killed anybody." Say, as far as you hate somebody, you are a murderer. If you're a murderer here this morning, you better repent. I mean, you arrive at the gate of life and they are calling you hired assassin. And you know you've never handled a gun to kill anybody. But the Bible says if you hate anybody, whether it's your mother or your father or whatever, you are a murderer. Hatred in the heart will reduce your chances of success, if not eliminate it completely. Hatred is like burning the house to kill the rat. Hatred is actually self-punishment. Hatred in deliverance is called the handcuff of demons. Demons will handcuff your hand. Once you are still hating somebody, the demons remain. No matter how many deliverance you go to do, they come back because they've handcuffed you already. Hatred will hit you harder than the one to whom you are throwing the hatred. Hatred will cover intelligence and hatred will pollute your mind. So you mustn't allow hatred to enter into your spirit. This is a very, very serious matter. And I want you to understand this very, very well. Number 10, you must not allow dishonesty. You must not allow dishonesty. Just allowing dishonesty is a recipe for failure. Allowing dishonesty is a recipe for failure. Any time, anywhere, always tell the truth. They say, tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. Always tell the truth. Any lie will catch up with you. Any falsehood in your life will catch up with you. Any falsehood is coming to catch up with you. Many years ago in this campus, I'm sure many of us, some of you maybe were not born at that time, they set up a panel. They call it a worship panel. I'm sure you have never heard that name before. A worship panel. A worship panel just came into the campus. They went around all the campuses. Operation, show your certificate. How did you get into the university? It was terrible. Terrible. It was then we knew that a lot of people got in on fake results. A lot of people didn't even know what WAEC means. And they got in. When this panel started checking, many people just packed their loads from campus and ran away. They didn't even wait. Some have got up to final year. They ran away. Some were almost heading for first class. They ran away because they came in on a false background. It has now caught up with them. The honest person will never receive money or anything that is not due to him. Honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. And honesty has no degree. It's either you are honest or you are not honest. Some people that we say are honest are only honest because they are afraid of being caught. If they know they will catch them, if they will not catch them, they will become dishonest. So you have to disallow dishonesty in your life. Number 11. Failure to tame your tongue. Failure to tame your tongue. That is, you cannot control your mouth. Your mouth is talking anyhow. That will get you into the school of failure. Your mouth is an instrument that can make you or destroy you. Those of us who talk anyhow to anybody, you should stop immediately. That man in Russia who used to criticize government, he would criticize every policy of the government. He would say the government is bad, government is not doing well. One day, the king got angry with him and said they should hang him because of his mouth. And they called everybody into the marketplace. Say, come and see, we're going to hang Mr. Loudmouth today. And people gather in the marketplace. But they had a tradition in that town. That if they want to hang somebody, and for some reason the rope caught, and the man could not be hanged, they should let him go. And so they gathered at the marketplace that day, and they put the rope on the neck of this man. And as they lifted him up on the gallows, the rope broke. And he fell down. Everybody was rejoicing. That means he's free. But instead of this man to keep quiet, do you see what I'm saying? This government cannot even make good ropes. Ordinary rope they can't make. So the king ordered them to bring another rope instead of setting me free. So that's how his mouth put him in trouble. Your mouth has a double barrel power. It can bless you, it can curse you. Once you begin to talk things that are not supposed to talk, it will affect your success. That's why the angel had to make Zechariah dumb and unable to speak. Because when the angel appeared and said, your wife Elizabeth shall have a child, and he shall call his name John. Many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he brought out those wonderful prophecies. Zechariah said, angel of God, how can this be so? The woman is an old woman. I saw him sleeping with her. How can this be so? The angel saw that if Zechariah continued to talk like that, he would talk himself out of his miracle. So he said, okay, because of that, be dumb. You won't be able to talk again, so that you won't spoil your own breakthrough. And he had to make him dumb, unable to speak. You have to control your tongue if you don't want to go to the school of failure. Number 12. Allowing your appetite to control you. Allowing your appetite to control you. Eat. Stand up when you've had enough. Don't eat until you get uncomfortable. Some will eat, especially when there is free food. Some will eat until they find it very difficult to button their trousers, find it very difficult to sleep, find it so difficult to do things because of gluttony. You shouldn't be like that. If you allow that to control you, it's like somebody is in the school of failure and the person wants to fail. Number 13. Allowing worry and anxiety to control your life. When you allow worry and anxiety to control your life, is a recipe for failure. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. 14. Allowing abominable materials in your possession. Allowing abominable materials in your possession is a recipe for failure. Everything you put on your body, check them out. Everything you put in your possession, check it out. If you bring the enemy into your body, the enemy will harass you. There are certain things you should not wear. There are certain things you should not use at all. If you use them, you will pollute your life and you'll cause trouble for yourself. There are certain things you should not put on. If you put them on, you get yourself into bondage. And you may run and run and run around and try to remove it, not knowing that you are the one causing trouble for yourself. I was praying with a sister many years back. She was 39, no husband. Nobody even said, I love you one day. As the prayers went on, I noticed she was trying to pull a ring off her finger. We prayed, as we were praying, she said, ring, ring, ring. Eventually, she was able to pull the ring and throw it out. I put anointing oil on that ring. It was smoking. And I said, who gave you this ring? I said, that's what, it's a golden ring, sir. It's something carat. It's my grandmother. That's what I inherited from my grandmother. I said, this ring has married you in the spirit realm to somebody else. That's why you could not get married. We destroyed the ring. That's how she could marry. But no matter where she goes, if she still has that thing in her body, that abominable material, there'll be trouble. Be harassing the life of the person. Certain things shouldn't come into your house. It's abomination. It will put you into trouble. The final thing I want to talk about before we start praying now, that you are allowing other people's things that does not belong to you into your life. Taking what does not belong to you is a recipe for failure. Or to put it the proper name, stealing. Stealing. Recipe for what? Failure. You say, but I'm not a thief. When you are jealous of other people's, wishing that you may have what they have, you are a thief. When you are secretly admiring those who cheat and they get away, then you are a thief yourself. When you are only scared by the consequences of being found out, but if you have opportunity to steal, you will steal. You are still a thief. When you wish you could take something away from somebody, you are a thief. When somebody forgot some change in your hand, and you pretended as if you didn't have it, you're a thief. Anything in your life that is fascinated with the concept of getting something for nothing is stealing. That's why some people are running to lottery, coupon, all those things that you are playing. You do nothing, then you get something. And so that's why the lottery people are getting money from people who are thieves. Because you two want big money for doing nothing. A thief inside. When somebody lends something to you and you cleverly confiscate it, and you are hoping the person will forget to ask, a thief. Any form of cheating, a thief. You got into a bus, you're supposed to pay. But now you saw somebody up front, they say, Bro, we're here. That man did not budget to pay for you, but now that I say, I'm here. So you are forcing him to pay. You're a thief. Somebody gave you a book 2 years ago. The book is still in your hand. You are not trying to bring it back. Person is a thief. When you don't pay your tithe, you are even a greater thief. Because you are not stealing from man now, you are stealing from God. When a man is stealing from man, we will say it's a petty thief. But a person who is stealing from God is a mighty arm robber indeed. Something is lost and you found it. You did not return it to the owner. You're a thief. A sister in MFM entered the bus and they said it's 20 naira they paid there. And she said, no, I'm going to pay 10 naira. I said, but it's 20 naira. So I said, I'm going to pay 10 naira. So the conductor was saying, driver, stop. We need to drop this woman. If not, I will throw her out because she doesn't want to pay a bus fare. The lady now stood up and said, all of you in this bus, hear me very well. I am from Mountain of Fire Miracles. And in our church, our general overseer has taught us how to call down fire when we need it. So warn this conductor now. The next time he asks for this money, I will not hesitate to call fire upon this bus. When some people in the bus had, I want to call fire on the bus, I say, please, don't call fire. Please, I will pray for her. Don't let her call fire. She's a thief. You are working in a place. You are supposed to arrive 9 a.m. You are getting there 10 a.m. You are a thief. You are supposed to close 3 o'clock. You are leaving early at 2 without permission. You are a thief. You are working in our office. You convert the office equipment to personal use. You are a thief. You are a thief. You want to talk to somebody. You don't have credit. You are flashy. So when the person now calls you, you will now calm down, begin to talk slowly, slowly. Because it's not your credit. Right, chief. In your place of work, the break is 1 hour. But 2 hours, you are gone. Come back later. I've seen a thief. In that place of work, you're supposed to stay at your table and work. But you say you are a holy man, so you ran into the toilet and started praying, using the time to work, to be praying. You are a holy thief where you are. All the students cheating in classes, they are thieves of destiny. Thieves. Any form of forgery, exam you did not take, you said you took it, you are a thief. And stealing is an offense which will truncate your destiny. What do you do so that you don't allow this recipe for failure to take root in your life? The first thing is to watch and pray. Watch and pray. You watch and you pray. And the second thing is to become an addict of the Bible. Read your Bible. Get into the scriptures. Read your Bible. And the third thing is to be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. So if you look at all these points that I've given to you today, and you make it your watchword through the year, I'm assured in my spirit that before this year runs to an end, you shall have testimonies of success. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. All eyes closed. This is the first Sunday in the year. But you see, if you are here this first Sunday, say, man of God, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to get born again. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, I want to give you that opportunity. Just wave at me where you are. I want to pray with you. God bless you. Wave at me where you are. I want to use today to surrender your life to Jesus. So you take a new life as from today. You want Jesus to be your friend. Just wave at me where I am. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you waving at me, take a bold step of faith. Just come quickly to me at the front. Come to my front here, by the altar here. Just find your way to the altar very quickly. Those of you at the front, I congratulate you. You've taken the most important decision in life. A decision you will never regret. Right there where you are, just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins. You open your mouth and talk to Jesus yourself now. Talk to Jesus yourself. Ask him to have mercy on you. And he should forgive all your sins. Talk to him yourself. Amen. Now those of you at the front, say what I'm going to say now after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from now, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. I thank you because they've taken this most important decision. Father, continue to lay your hands upon them. Amen. Write their names in the book of life. Amen. This day they've taken this most important decision. Let their lives no longer remain the same. Amen. Turn them to another person in you. That will glorify your name in the earth. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.